Wheel Mark Scott, still with his jaw in bandages, marched up and saluted the Wildcat with the stock of his whip.
Lord, there was little damage done by the fire. We contained it before it could get a hold. The fortress walls are old and thick, so they hardly suffered, apart from a bit of scorched bark.
If he expected any thanks for the information, Scott was sadly disillusioned. The warlord vented his spleen on the unwitting Wheelmark.
So, you think that makes everything all right, do you? One of my sons is slain, the otters freed the prisoners, they tried to burn down my fortress, and they had all my cat guards chasing their own tails. They made fools of us.
The sight of Rigu Felis with rage stamped on his unmasked face was a frightening thing to behold. Scott backed off, keeping silent lest his lord's wrath descended upon him. Slamming on his helmet, Rigu grabbed his war axe.
You will summon my cat guards, every one of them. Have them lined in ranks on the shore by the time this mist breaks. I'll straighten their backbones.
The Wheelmark did not know whether to breathe a sigh of relief or apprehension as the warlord strode off to his tower chamber. Out on the coast, just above the tide line, were cliffs with thick vegetation hanging down over deeply undercut rock shelving. This had once been the habitat of all the shellhound sea otters, but Letho was the last survivor of his clan. The long, low-ceilinged cavern was well disguised and was on a stretch of the coast seldom visited by any creature. On that misty morning, every free otter gathered there in force to celebrate in victory over their foes. A huge cauldron of kelp and seafood stew bubbled over a sizable fire of driftwood, charcoal and sea coal. A jubilant air prevailed over all, with little ones playing games of jink shells and elders gathering around the far side of the fire to gossip and exchange news with friends and relatives. Old Zillo the Bard sat in a corner, composing a ballad of the night's heroic events. Otterwives doled out freshly baked paw pad turnovers and bowls of stew. A jolly, wide-girt old grandfather named Bill Gully was pouring tankards of his home-brewed invention from a barrel to a waiting line of clan beasts. His vast stomach wobbled with merriment as he passed out the stuff.
Come on, me boyos, drink our Eno. There ain't nothing like my gully plug punch to put the curl back in your whiskers. 'Twill give you rudder like a rock and back fur like velvet moss.
Big Colin Galedeep carried two tankards outside the curtain of vegetation which covered the cave front. Letho was seated on a rock outside, staring into the thick rolling mist that lay upon the calm ebbing tide. Sitting beside the outlaw, Colin gave him a tankard of Bill Gully's punch.
Get that down your throat, matey. 'Twill warm the cockles of your heart.
Letho sipped pensively, still silently watching the sea mists. Big Colin was not renowned as a sipper. Emptying his tankard in two swallows, he wiped the back of a hefty paw across his mouth.
Well now, shellhound, the clans seem to be enjoying themselves in there while you're moping about out here. What ails you, mate? You can tell me.
Letho swilled the punch around in his tankard.
One single victory don't mean we've won the war, Colin. That wildcat ain't going to hold still after what we've done. Felis is bound to come back at us hard as he can. I don't know exactly how the villain will do it, so it's up to me to try and outthink him.
Colin threw a paw around his friend's shoulders.
Aye, well, you do your outthinking later, bucko. You're wanted in there right now. Come on. Stir your rudder.
Rousing cheers greeted the outlaw as he joined the throng. Amid copious backslapping and paw-shaking, he was escorted to a seat of honour by the fire. Letho had issues he wanted to address the otters about, but as he made to rise, Big Colin's Mrs. Diderot shoved him firmly back down, proclaiming,
"Arrah, sit ye down, shellhound. The bard's composed a fine lay about ye. Whisht now, the singer's got the floor."